Blog Talk Radio.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me at Twitter, at Joy Keys, or on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and also on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. I would also love to hear from you, comments, suggestions. You can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I just got off the phone with Chika Onigwe. She's a Nigerian writer, professor, won many awards. We were discussing her book, Better Never Than Late, and I'll be giving away copies of that. So please check me out on the different social media platforms to see how you can win. And now I believe she has on the line. I have a wonderful woman. She is a pilot, but she's not just any old pilot. She's an African-American woman pilot, and she overcame a disability to get her pilot's license. So Leslie Irby, I believe, is on the line. Leslie, is this you?
I'm here.
Hi, thank you so much for calling to show today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
I saw your story and I was like, I got to talk to this lady. I got to talk to you. And other people needed to hear your story. I think it's so important. So your name is Leslie Irby and you're from Georgia. And how did you become with the planes? When did this start? Where did this idea of being a pilot? I mean,
okay. Well, it's a fun story. I've always had a love for aviation since I was a teenager. When I was about 15, my dad asked me, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" And typically, you know, as kids, we're like, "Oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer." But I had no desire to do any of those things. I live probably about 15 minutes from Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, and I can just hear planes flying over our home all day, all night. And I said, I just want to be a pilot. And my dad was like, okay, well, we'll figure it out. And the next day,
wow,
I came home with a poster of Bessie Coleman. And I had no idea who Bessie Coleman was. I had no idea the significance she had for African-American women. But it was a poster of her with a quote that said, "The air is the only place free of prejudice." At the age of 15, I didn't really understand what that meant because, you know, as kids, sometimes you're oblivious to kind of what's going on in the world or what has already happened in the world for previous people before us. So I didn't really understand, but as I matriculated through school, I came across a program at our local airport called ACE, which is Aviation Career Enrichment, for young African Americans who are interested in aviation. And through that program, I was able to get introductory flights where I was able to see exactly what flying felt like. And I fell in love. It was just something about being 10,000 feet above, you know, the ground in this little machine. It just did something to me that I just felt magical. So I said, this is what I want to do. So I applied as soon as I got out of high school to the Air Force Academy, and I did not get accepted. I was super devastated, super fresh, because it's okay. It worked out somehow. So I applied to the Air Force Academy. I didn't get in. I was super crushed. I had, like, this dream of being, like, I wanted to be Top Gun. And, you know, I just wanted to be this big, bad F-22 fighter pilot. You know, I just had this vision of
Oh, my God.
You know,
listen to this.
It sounds cool. But, you know, clearly God said, nope, that's not the route that I'm really interested in you going down. So it didn't work out. So, of course, for a little while, I did stop flying. And in 2013, I was involved in a multi-car accident where I was left paralyzed. And one thing about me, I have a very strong faith in God. And I truly believe that God puts us in different places for different reasons, and things happen in our lives for a reason. So becoming paralyzed to me was not a curse. To me, it was a blessing, because in any other capacity, I could have been someone who perished that day, as two other people did. And so I have to reevaluate myself and say, okay, why did I get a chance to try again in life? And from that moment on, I kind of told myself, okay, now is the time to figure out what it is your true passion, and like, what is your purpose for living at this point? Because everything I did prior doesn't matter. You know,
Leslie, let me just tell the audience that there are black women make up less than 1% of pilots in America. 1%.
Yes.
In 2019, Alaskan Airlines, they signed a pledge to increase their female African American pilots by 2025. So we'll see how they're going to be doing. They have four more years left to deal with that. But only 1%. That's just amazing. So now you had this accident and you have this faith. But it seems like you also had a family maybe that were supporting you. Because a lot of kids, if they told their parents, black kids in America, I'm making a generalized statement, I want to be a pilot. I've flown a lot of planes, and I will tell you, I've never seen a black pilot come out of the cockpit. You know, sometimes the pilots come and introduce themselves as you're boarding the plane. Now, I've seen black stewardesses, men and women, I've seen on the plane, but I have never seen a black African-American, black pilot come out of the cockpit and introduce themselves to me saying, hi, I'm going to be your pilot today. So it was a very a unique story of yours. So now, does your family come into play as well?
Somewhat. They have always been supportive of almost anything that I've come up with that I've said I've wanted to. We're one of those families that's like, okay, if you say you want to do it, let me see you put forth a little bit of the effort for it before, and then once we see that you're kind of serious about what you're doing, then we'll all get on board and we'll go from there. So that's kind of how it went. So it was like, you know, I had to find my own initiative first, and then they all jumped on board, and I got the best people in the world, I guess.
Now, you also have a master's in clinical rehabilitation and mental health counseling. How did you get down that road? Was that to help yourself and try to understand your trauma and what had happened to you? How did you decide on that choice?
What happened was, so after I left Shepherd Center here in Atlanta, I'm getting out of the rehab hospital, I told myself that I wanted to understand other people going through similar situations like I did. One thing about going through something traumatic, it's harder for people who have never kind of been in your shoes to truly understand what you've been through. It's, you know, you can go to therapy, you can talk to counselors and, you know, psychologists all you want to, but, you know, it's one thing for someone to say, I truly understand what you've been through. So I wanted to be in that role for people who have also been in those similar type situations. So I went back to school after my injury and got a master's degree in clinical rehab and mental health counseling because I wanted to be that vessel of, you know, hope to other people to say, okay, this is where you are today, but this is not where your life has to end. This is truly where your life now begins. So that was kind of the
purpose. Let me tell the audience too, Leslie, let me let them know that you are in a wheelchair, correct?
Correct.
Now, do you have to use that all the time, or is that just for certain days, or is it a 24/7 thing?
No, this is 24/7. I have an L3 spinal cord injury. From my accident, my spinal cord was severed. So I am a full-time, 100% Roland Diva, paraplegic princess. My friend, and this is pretty much, you know, this is how I get around on an everyday basis.
So it's still amazing. I was on your Instagram page, and I saw, you know, we have that challenge that's going on where people are dressed really raggedy now, and then they
mm-hmm.
flash either a makeup brush. Yeah. So I saw yours, and yours was wonderful because, tell the audience why I think yours was wonderful.
Well, one, because I'm a devastating diva of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. But
okay, the little triangle.
But also because all the other women in the video were also wheelchair users. And we are all
yes.
beautiful women, and we come from different backgrounds. We all have different stories as to why, you know, we all utilize a wheelchair for our everyday basis. But it just, the video is basically to highlight that women of all different diversities and inclusions are beautiful. And not, you know, that, you know, just because somebody's in a wheelchair, that doesn't, you know, say that you can't participate in different challenges. So it was really to highlight the diversity of women. And it was so much fun to make. And all of us are from all over the country. So being able to come into like a little mini group me message and say, okay, let's do this, let's do that, and it all comes together full circle. So I loved it. I'm hoping it gets shared a trillion times and, you know, more people can also see it. Because one thing that I've realized about people with disabilities, it's kind of like a stigma that society places on them to say, you know, most time when you say somebody's paralyzed, their brain typically goes the extreme. But then when you can physically see somebody who says, oh, this person is paralyzed, they're like, oh, you look like that, you know, she's
right.
quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this person's limitations are a little different than this one, but it doesn't limit them as a person from being, you know, whomever they want to be. Because every single one of us in that group is some type of occupation that somebody else may not have known that, oh, paralysis may stop somebody from becoming a doctor. That's not true because one of the women in the video is a doctor. So it was a beautiful thing. So I was really proud to be a part of it.
Can you tell the audience a little bit about Able Flight, the program Able Flight, and how that helped you?
Yes, by a guy named Charles Seitz. About maybe 10 or 11 years ago, he had the idea of creating a program for people with disabilities to obtain their pilot's license. So through him and Purdue University, they were able to rent out airplanes for the summer that are accessible. They have accessible rudders. So in a regular aircraft, you have rudder pedals where you use your feet for taxiing or depending on different things that you may need it for in the air. There are some aircraft that come equipped with a hand control that controls the rudder pedals. And him and his organization, and with the help of Purdue University, him and his
Leslie, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. Okay. My dog had to interrupt to show his presence. So through Able Flight, they have the pedals, which are hand-controlled. So for pilots like myself, we're able to easily transfer into the aircraft and we can manipulate all the hands, all the controls via hand, so no foot pedals are needed at all. And I would say, I believe I was there for 7 weeks. And at the end of it, if you complete all the training, you go through, it is a FAA-approved license. It's not some type of special license for people with disabilities. We are put through the same test as any other pilot who is looking to obtain a sport license. And I passed my check ride on June 28th of 2019 and officially became a sport pilot.
So now, what's a sport pilot compared to, say, when I go take a flight from Philadelphia to Atlanta? Or is that a sport? What does that mean, sports pilot?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So in aviation, there are different types of ratings and licenses. So a sport pilot is a pilot who's able to carry two passengers. So it's just an aircraft, single engine, more like, I would say, recreational aircraft piloting. The type of pilot you're referring to is an airline transport pilot. So those people have gone through multiple ratings. So they would have their private pilot's license, which is the next license, which I am working towards currently.
Okay.
And then they would get their multi-engine, and then they have a commercial license and go from there to obtain their airline transport, which is the commercial, the Deltas of the world type pilot.
Yes. Okay, okay.
So I am nowhere near there. I am on the other side.
Okay, I was
going to
say, how close are you?
Nowhere near. I am so far. But that's not, it's also not something that I truly desire. I just love to fly. I just love being in the air. I love, you know, if one of my friends said, hey, can we go flying today? I'm like, sure, you know, why not? That's what
how
I
long
do.
Have you
I
been in the air? What's your longest flight so far?
To date, I would say my longest flight was about 3.5 hours. I did a cross-country flight, which means that I fly to 3 different airports within a 150-mile radius. And we flew for about maybe 3.5 hours. You make a triangle. And it was,
okay.
It was pretty fun. I truly enjoyed it. It's, you know, aviation is one thing. It's like always an unknown variable sometimes. So things sometimes happen. But I have some fun times that I've flown, because most of them have been done at Purdue University, where I obtained my license, and with my flight instructor there.
Now, how high have you gone in the air?
I would say currently, I would say maybe like 7,000 feet, probably.
Now, what scares you? What scares you when you're flying? Does anything scare you?
Well, the politically correct answer should be no, because you shouldn't be scared. If you're up there, especially if you're alone, you know, freaking out is the last thing you want to do.
But you're human,
say,
so you can't freak out.
Right, that is true. I would say the only thing that would scare me is probably if I decided to go on a flight and get extremely lost, then I would probably be a little scared. But there's also ways to try to find your way back by using, like, different piloting skills and, like, following different roads and following things that you know, visual things, to say, okay, I do know there's a water tower that's, you know, 10 miles from my local airport. So maybe if I turn around and go back 10 miles, I'm probably going to go back in the right, you know, direction. So I would hate to get lost and just really be lost one day. But
now, do you see yourself becoming a teacher? Do you see yourself becoming a teacher, as a pilot teaching people how to fly?
I would love to. So to do that, I would have to get a certified flight instructor license. And that is something that is obtainable that I could do, because I would really like to open that door for other people with disabilities who are possibly interested in aviation, who may think that they cannot, you know, go into aviation because of their disability. If by people seeing me and getting more aware of who I am and the road that I'm taking for them, basically because I'm trying to open the door for the next generation, if they're able to see that and I can be of any help and assistance to them in their journeys, I would love to do so.
So let me ask you some fun things, okay? We talked about some serious stuff here, but just some fun things. What do you carry around in your pocketbook when you're going out? Like, what are like a couple things you have to have when you leave the house? This is what I have to have when I leave the house. Otherwise, I got to go back.
In my purse, I have to have my phone because I can't go too far without it. I have to have my phone. I have to have my lip gloss. Is it something about a nice, fresh set of lip gloss? And I have so many casings of the same brand of lip. I have something with Black Radiance lip gloss. I don't know what it is about them. I just love it. So I have like 10 tubes of it. But I have one in like
my
car. I have one at the bottom of my chair. I have one in my purse. I have one in my makeup bag. Just in case, you know, for any reason, I lose one, I always know I got another one somewhere. And let's see what else is in my purse. My credit card. Probably need those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Those are my main three. My lip gloss.
So you got lip gloss, credit card, telephone. So let me ask you this. Where would you like to fly that you have not flown to?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let's see. I would like to fly to, I would like to fly over an island. So I know physically getting there in a small aircraft would not be the way to go. But if I could like commercials to, let's say, somewhere like the Maldives, then I would like to fly like that mini jet to the actual island off of the coast of the French Polynesian. That would be something that I think would be really cool to say, like, I chartered my own plane and got myself to the actual country. I think that would be amazing.
Wow, that sounds really great. I mean, even for me, I don't fly, but I would like to be a passenger on your flight and go to, the island.
I would love that.
So let me ask you some other silly questions. Do you drink juice or soda?
I am a juice drinker, and I'm really a water drinker, truthfully. I try to stay away from all of it, but if I have to pick one, I go a juice drinker.
So peanut butter and jelly or turkey and cheese sandwich?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Would you like to take a hike or go swimming?
I love swimming.
Let's see, what else? Would you like to go to the movies or see an opera?
You know what? I would say an opera, only because I haven't, and I want to see if I would get that same iconic crying moment, how some people do, because, you know, it's so intense that you really have to watch it, because you don't, you know, unless you understand, you know, the language, you really just have to pay attention. So
yes,
I would love
yes.
to just sit there through an opera and hopefully just bawl crying because it was just so beautiful or something. I would love that.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Yeah, I've seen some operas, and even though you don't know the language, like, you kind of understand the emotion of the situation, and the actors they bring out those feelings in you. So you don't have to know the language. You might miss some things, but by the actors, it's really beautiful, and also the costumes are usually great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody should try to at least once just go see, you know, maybe you don't ever go back, but, you know, you go see and check it out. I had an opera singer on the show once before, and it was an African-American male opera singer. I like to have people who are doing unique things in our culture, and so that's why I'm glad I had you on. What's going on in the future for Leslie Irby? What in the next 5 years, what will we see Leslie Irby doing?
In the next 5 years, you know, God willing, I will definitely have completed my private pilot's license and working toward probably that flight instructor license. and seeing how I can work with other organizations to hopefully donate an aircraft. And if I can get a plane donated to my cause, then hopefully trying to open that door for new pilots to come in with disabilities as well.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome. If anybody's listening to this show and you know somebody with money or they got private planes and they're trying to get rid of them but they're accessible, please contact
yes.
Leslie Irby. I'm putting that out
yes.
there for you because that sounds
yes.
absolutely amazing. Yes. I mean, really.
And even if they're not accessible aircraft, you know, I'm working to figure out hand controls to put on other types of aircraft so we can make them accessible. So even if somebody has one that isn't, you know, I'm more than willing to take it off their hands if they have the heart and the willingness to donate it for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much, Leslie, for coming on the show today. I wish you much luck in the future. I'm so happy that you are doing what you're doing because it is a great inspiration, even to me. I'm not a pilot and I'm not in a wheelchair, but it's an inspiration, like get off of your ass and do whatever it is that
yes.
you say you're going to do
yes.
type of thing, you know,
yes.
and I think that is how other people will see you. And now let me ask you, who is another inspiration for you? Because everybody's inspired by your story, but who are you inspired by? I mean, you said Bessie Coleman. Is there anybody else current day that you see, you look up to, another woman in the environment right now?
That's another good question. I would say if there is a female that does inspire me, even though not current day, I would say Rosa Parks, only because I'm biased because we're born on the same day. Rosa Parks, of course, you know, we all know the story of Rosa Parks, but it was just something about her, like, willingness to just be different. That sets her apart. You know, she said, no, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm going to stand up for
yeah.
what I believe in, and I'm going to do me. We're the same person.
That's excellent.
You know, we're born on the same
okay.
day, so I think, you know, somehow I just got that spirit of her inside of me. But we're one and the same, you know. I don't take no for an answer. You know, if I want something, I'm going to do it, regardless of any obstacle in front of me. If I say, this is what I stand on, this is my moral, this is what I believe, I'm going to make it happen. So she's also my inspiration as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great weekend, and I wish you much success in all the future. And anybody listening, we need a plane.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much for having me, and please stay safe during this pandemic time.
Oh, yes, you too. You have a great weekend. Stay safe and wipe everything down and wear your mask.
Yes.
Stay home. All right.
Okay, you as well. Have a great bye-bye.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That was Leslie Irby. She's an African-American pilot, but she also is in a wheelchair, and so she's doing some unique things with her life. You can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter, or you can check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And you can also check me out on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Also, email me. I'd love to hear from you. Comments, suggestions, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org, brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.